Okay, here we go. Let's learn about Erev Pesach Chalias with Shabbos. Okay, now let's talk. We'll try a little along this. We'll try to bring out different things that are unique about this year. Unique and in figuring out how it's unique in this year, it actually brings out more of an appreciation of the actual lundis, the actual inner workings of the topic that we are discussing. Okay, next topic. Yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about Tainus Bechorim. This year, Tainus Bechorim is observed not on Erev Pesach, when it should be, because that's the actual Bo Bayom, the day when the danger occurred to the firstborns, but we push it back all the way to Thursday. Why push back to Thursday? So we discuss because I guess it's like a tashlumen. We make it up. We make it up. Now, let's just touch upon this for one more moment. Some will argue, and I can't give you chapter and verse name, but some will argue that if you're not going to fast Bo Bayom, Tainus Bechorim, there's really no need to fast altogether. So this year, don't bother. Really, you should only the time to fast is the day of Erev Pesach, because this is the day of Sakana. We are reliving Mitzrayim. What are you gaining of Tashlumen? This Tainus is not a Tainus of Teshuvah. It's not Poronos. When it comes to the four fast days, Tisha B'Av, Shavuos V'Tammuz, Rebbe Teves, these are days where we are required to reflect upon the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Churban Beis HaMikdash is very real. If you can't fast on the proper day, so fast afterwards. Maybe you'll argue fast before, due to Shuvah, Tainus Esther. If you can't fast at the proper time, so fast before. Because the focus of these days is to do Teshuvah, to repent, to reflect upon your sins. The Tainus Makas Bechoros of Bechorim is not really a Tainus of doing Teshuvah. If it really was a Tainus of doing Teshuvah, then everyone in Klal Yisrael should fast, not just the firstborns. The Tainus is more of a Zecher. It's more of a reminder. But if if you can't fast on the appropriate day, then why bother altogether fasting? If you're not going to fast in Erev Pesach because it's Shabbos, so nu avar zman batal korbanoi. If you don't bring the korban on Shabbos, if for whatever reason the Kohanim and Beis Hamikdash are not able to bring on Shabbos the korban musaf for Shabbos, they don't bring the korban musaf on Sunday. There's no tashlumin. There's no such thing. So why bother fasting altogether? So indeed, if I'm not mistaken, there are poskim that say that's right. In a year like this, there's no fast. You get away with it. However, that's not the Minhag Yisrael. The Minhag Yisrael is that you do fast on Thursday, as we mentioned. And even if you'll suggest that you're not really accomplishing anything, but it's important to fast so that next year you'll fast on the proper day. Shaloi tishtakach, toiras, tainas, bechoyrim, mi Yisrael. Once you let a year go by, where you don't do what you're supposed to do, even though there's really no need to do it this particular year, it weakens and damages your consistency, your commitment to the cause. And I don't think there's ever been a year in our lives where we can appreciate this, and for that matter, a lot of things that I want to talk about, like this year. Because this year has been a year where, for a significant chunk of time, many people have not gone to shul. They have not done anything. Our religious observance has been basically, on hold. At least the way that we are used to doing things. So what's so terrible? Get a little break. So for 3 months, you daven in the house. You daven shacharis, mincha, maariv. So for 3 months, you don't learn, you don't go to yeshiva. So you used to get a little vacation this year. You don't have to do the mitzvahs the way you ordinarily do the mitzvahs. No mishloach manos, no sudas purim. You don't have the Shabbos, this is much more diminished. We all know very well, and everyone on their level, that when you don't do something for a period of time, it's very, very hard to reboot when the opportunity does return, where you can do things the way you were doing it in the past. It's very, very hard just to pick yourself up and go back and live your life the way you were doing it, with the same commitment, the same enthusiasm, drive you did before. It's just a fact. It's not the same. No, there's not one person that's going to tell you that, oh, everything now is the same. Everything, and most people in the country, it's not. It's far from over. But even parts of the country where people are beginning to reemerge, no one's going to tell you that it's the same. So we can really appreciate with a real depth the wisdom of Chazal. We're in a year like this, Erev Pesach, Shechalias B'Shabbos, where many things that we're gonna are true. I don't know how much we'll be able to talk to discuss different things, but there are many, many facets of this year that are really Me'ikar Hadin totally irrelevant from the perspective of Halacha. It's just not applicable. The whole halachic setting does not apply. So why bother? Why waste your time? The answer is, if you don't do it this year, then you know what's going to happen? You're not going to do it next year. When next year you really are obligated, according to halacha, to do it. You lose the momentum. You lose the consistency. And Chazal, they were very wise and clever in how far they went in demanding nothing changes. You may be living in a world of make-believe this year, and you're doing things that really make absolutely no sense, but do it. Do it. Because if you're not going to do it, you're going to, this year I have a year off. You may never come back next year and do it when you really do need to do it. And almost every single part of this year fits into that pattern to some degree, one way or another. Tainas Bechorim. If you really want to be Yoreh Lusif, Oimka Shel Dovar, Tainas Bechorim is not a tainus of doing teshuva. It's a tainus, a zecher, for the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when Hashem sent the Mashchis, and the Mashchis is not Mafin Ben Tzadik Lo Rasha. You can be the biggest tzadik. A person that did not, from the tzadikim that did not do a chait, like from the tzadikim who never were chait. Doesn't matter. Hashem made a world, and if the Mashchis is given permission to go out and destroy, it's not Mafchin Ben Tzadik Lo Rasha. So every tzaddik is in danger because tzaddik viraloi. Tzaddik viraloi. This is not a matter. This tainus is not a tainus. Oh, I got to do teshuva. I'm vulnerable. I did an avera. I did a terrible avera. So I'm vulnerable. The Malach HaMavis will come to get me in punishment for my avera. No, that's not what it's about. The Malach HaMavis is coming to get you no matter what. Whether you're a tzaddik, whether you're a rosh or a tzaddik. Because kevan, shenitin, rishus, lemashchis, Einoy mavchin bein tzaddik l'rosha. Know the word tzaddik means a tzaddik gomor, with absolutely no averos. That's how Hashem made the world. So this tainus is not a matter of doing teshuva. It's a matter of sakana. That sakana is only present erev Pesach. If it's not erev Pesach, it's bogus. What are you doing? You fasting for what? For who and for what? You want to do teshuva? I'll give you a whole prescription how to do teshuva. Fast every Monday, Thursday for the next 40 Monday, Thursdays. You want to do teshuva? I'll tell you what to do. What are you doing? This is not a, what are you doing? It's either Boba Yom or it's not. Chazal said, no, no playing games here. You're right, it's not relevant, but you cannot lose the momentum. And how powerful that is, Musar, again, for us this year, we know firsthand what that means. Many people today who are, you know, have responsibility for chinuch institutions, they're really scratching their heads and really wondering, no one knows, did I do the right thing this year? I know Rav. He said to me, he doesn't know what social media is, this Rav. He doesn't know what social media is. He really has no clue what it is. No clue. He doesn't understand. And he said to me, as soon as Corona broke out, follow the rules. He was from the first to shut down. They told him to shut down. The shul was locked. I even took a picture. I have a picture. I wrote the sign. He asked me to write the sign. I wrote the sign. Shul was locked, shut. When did he open? Like everyone else, Shavuos, no different. Follow the rules, mass and social, you name the whole nine yards. And now it's been a year. There's a lot of tragedy. He himself lost a few relatives. He had quite a bit. Some people in the shul got very sick. Plenty of tzaras, wherever you turn. But he said to me, we now know there was a lot of lies out there. And we didn't realize, you know, it was a real danger. No, there's no danger. But there was also a lot of politics going on. And he really wonders, he says to me, maybe I should have had, during this time, a secret minion. Exactly 10 people sworn to secrecy with social distancing. It was very horrible for a very religious person not to daven. For how many months was it? 3-4 months to daven b'yechidus? It bothers him. Okay? It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. But he's a very holy person. He's a very holy person. It bothers him. And now when he sees not everything is the way it seems, and after also suffering quite a bit in his own family and following the rules, being very good and honest, he said, you know, it caused a lot of damage. He wonders. So I told him, no. There is no way. You don't know what kind of world we live in today. There is no way in the world you can have sworn 10 people to secrecy and spread out over a massive room. No way in the world. They will find out about you and they will come down. They would have come down on you like you can't even imagine. They'll come arrest you. No way. Don't even go there. But it was very striking to me, his attitude. Looking back, he did nothing wrong. He was clean as a whistle. But looking at his attitude, it bothered him. Why? Because when you lose the momentum, when you lose that momentum, it's painful, it's harmful. This year is a prime example of that principle of Erev, Pesach, Shechal, Yos, B'Shabbos, all of these incredible chumras that we do, which are totally irrelevant, it's for one reason only. Preserve the momentum. Don't forget what it means, Erev, Pesach. Pesach is essential to Klal Yisrael. Don't lose that momentum. It's extremely critical. Tainus Bechorim is a great example. Let me give you another example. Bedikas Chametz. When do we make Bedikas Chametz this year? Thursday night. What's the calendar date of Thursday night? Yud Gimel. Or Le Yud Gimel. Open up a Masechet Pesachim. Read the Mishnah. Or liyud dalid boidkin esachomet leor haner. Read my lips. Or liyud dalid. What in the world are you doing this year? Or liyud gimel. You're making a bracha. Brachatu Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al bir chometz. It's a bracha levatola. No? It says in the Mishnah, Or liyud dalet. Yet the halacha is this year, the whole Klal Yisrael will be doing bedikas chametz or liyud gimel. At kidei kach with the bracha. Now you'll tell me, big deal, wait, how could that be? How could you? Okay, so you have to find all the halachic workaround, why it's permitted, this and that. But after everything is said and done, it just goes to show how far it goes. Being that Friday, why can you do B'dikas Chametz Friday night? Over here in the Nitigavili, really has a whole presentation. Why can't you have a guy, hire a non-Jew, and have him walk around with you holding the Nair? Holding Amir Liakim, Letzorch Mitzvah is Mutter, is a mitzvah of Bir Chametz, Chazal made the Takana, hire a non-Jew, let him go and walk around with you, holding it. Move over there, move the candle over there. I guarantee, if you had, you do a much better bedikas chametz with a guy helping you than if you do it yourself. You do it yourself. Shloita Shtaga. So why don't we do the one you hire a guy Friday night? That's when the Bedikas Chometz is supposed to be done. Obviously, Chazal did not want to bring goyim into your house. It's not a good thing to bring a goy into your house to have him see what you got in your house. In the time of Yitzias, it was just the opposite. During the 3 days of Choshech, we went into their houses to see what they have. You don't bring the goy into your house to see what you got in your house. It's obviously not a very good idea to have a goy come into your house. All right, so let me ask you, so why don't you then do the Bedika with the lights on? Don't be metalkal the Nair. Just keep the lights on. Keep the lights on and go around your house and look for chametz and know it's not la'ar haner. Or why not do the bedika by day when the sun is shining? So you don't, the halacha is if you don't do bedika at night, you can do it by day. You can make a bracha. You can even make a bracha by day. Why? Why are we going and having bedikas chametz at Yud Gimel, la'ar haner, is a very extreme thing to do. Because it's not what it's the halacha. The halacha is orli yudalit. And if you don't do yudalit, now you do yudalit by day with a bracha. To go do it orli yud gimel, it's extreme. It's a very extreme thing to do. If you were writing the Shulchan Aruch, it's not likely the average person would come to the conclusion that the solution this year is to do bedikas chametz at night l'or haner. It's much more likely that if you the layman was writing the Shulchan Aruch, he would say, "No, this year, you know, you should do bedikas chametz at night with a bracha, but no ner. Just don't use the ner. Don't use the ner. Go and just leave your Shabbos candles. You have shalom bayis. You have the ner of Shabbos to eat Yisuda Shabbos. If it's good enough for Yisuda Shabbos, it'll be good enough to look for chametz. And if that's not good enough, so maybe we'll wait. Do the bedika on by day." Wait until the morning. Wait until the morning when the sun is shining. Open up the windows. Open up the window shades and do the best that you can. At kidei kach to go push back the bedika to a day before, especially the land. I'll explain to you why it should be chiddush. Because what is the purpose of bedikas chametz? Let me give you some background and how it actually is enough min halacha l'maisa this year. I'm going to pause from this point and discuss something else as a background to what I want to bring out. In a regular year. Let us say, for argument's sake, you're very busy Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, you have to catch a flight. You have to go to a hotel. You have to go somewhere. And you literally do not have any time to burn your chametz. Erev, in a regular year. You have to wake up at 5 in the morning, pack, daven, get on a train, get on a bus, get on a plane, go somewhere. And the time you'll settle down will be 2 hours before Yom Tov. You literally do not have a free second from 5 in the morning until right before Yom Tov. When am I going to burn my chametz? I have chametz. I did a bedika at night. I have chametz. The zman beer, burn the chametz right before the zman iser. When am I going to burn the chametz? So you know what the halacha is? The Rama writes this. The Rama says, if you're busy and you can't burn the chametz erev Yom Tov because you're tarot, you can burn it at night, right after the bedika. In fact, it's ideal because you made the bracha. What's the bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem Kedem Melacholam Asher Kedushan BeMitzvot Tzvanu Al Biur Chametz, on the destruction of chametz. When you search for the chametz, you're not destroying the chametz. You're first destroying the chametz tomorrow morning. There's a delay from the time you make the bracha until the actual fulfillment of the word biur. What are you actually doing when you do biur chametz? You're fulfilling a mitzvah deraisa called tashbisu. Tashbisu se'or mi batechem. The Torah tells you that erev Pesach, you have an obligation to obliterate chametz, se'or, is one form of chametz, mi batechem. When you burn chametz, erev Pesach, you are fulfilling a mitzvah de'oraisa of tashbisu se'or mi batechem.
So why do we make the bracha of biur?
Because that's what biur means to destroy. It's the beginning of the process. The reason why, because there are two parts of the process. You first have to search for the chametz, and then you destroy the chametz. The searching is done at night because we want to search Lo'or HaNer. It's the most, the best way to find and seek the Chametz is Lo'or HaNer. So we search at night. But the actual fulfillment of the mitzvah in its total form is when you destroy it during the day. There's a delay. The bracha, but the precise translation of the bracha really refers to the end when you're actually going to burn the chametz. So you mean mekayim a mitzvah deraisa with tashbisu. Now let's also appreciate that the when you burn the chametz, you're basically destroying the very last chametz that you possess, because you're supposed to burn the chametz during the fifth hour, at the time when you're no longer allowed to eat, but you're allowed to possess. So with the burning of your chametz, that's it. You have nothing left. This is the last item of chametz that I own in this world. In other words, now let's explain this. If you can make the following argument. Let's say I were to burn the chametz 6 o'clock in the morning. I remember when I was a kid on the Lower East Side, most people burned the chametz very early in the morning. People went to work. A different world. When I was a little kid, people went to work. There's bonfires outside the building. People, they daven very early. They went to work Erev Pesach. Who didn't go to work Erev Pesach? Go to work. And on the way to work, 6 o'clock in the morning, on the way to shul, there's a big bonfire, the big barrels in front of the buildings on the Lower East Side. And you throw the chametz into the, there are kids there, and you give the kid, like me, a couple of dollars, right? The kids, everyone got money for burning the chametz. And they, early in the morning, by 10 o'clock, nothing doing. That's not really the correct thing to do. The correct thing is to burn the chametz in the fifth hour. Why the fifth hour? Because you want to be mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. If you're going to burn the chametz at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then go daven, and then after davening is over, go to the local grocery store and buy a chocolate bar, buy some chametz and eat it, that's not tashbisu. When you destroyed your chametz, you're not done yet. I destroyed chametz, but I still possess chametz. Let's say you still have in your pocket a sandwich. Your wife makes you a sandwich to eat. You got to eat the sandwich before make-believe 10:30. So I go on the way to daven, I throw my chametz on that night, I throw it into the fire. The mekayim, the mitzvah, the oraisa of tashbisu, to destroy chametz. And I have in my pocket my breakfast, my sandwich, my Cheerios. And then I daven, and then I sit down and eat my Cheerios. Excuse me, what did you just do before? Davening, 6 o'clock in the morning, you burnt your chametz. That's not called tashbisu. If you burnt chametz 6 o'clock in the morning, and you still in your pocket possess chametz, and you're now having a delicious meal, you cannot tell me that the burning of the chametz that you did 6 o'clock in the morning was the fulfillment of tashbisu. Because the simple understanding of tashbisu means, this is it. This is all of my chametz, and I'm now destroying it. And I have nothing left. What is this, a game? It's a ceremony? Oh, you take some chametz, 10 pieces of bread with a wooden stick and a feather, and you throw it into the fire. And then you sit down in the restaurant and have a delicious meal. That's tashbisu. When the Torah tells you, listen, Pesach is coming. Get rid of your chametz. How do you get rid of your chametz? Ain't bir ela b'sreifa. We don't paskin like that. You can crumble it up into the wind as well. But you want to be mahader. The minig Yisrael is to be mahader. You search for the chametz. You find the chametz. Oh, this is the last chametz. And now you destroy it. I have nothing left in my possession. That's tashbisu. If you destroy chametz, and now I have my pocket, a delicious sandwich, I'm going to eat breakfast, and by 10:30 I'll be done. That's not tashbisu. This year we're all phonies. Because this year we're going to go burn the chametz, and then what are you going to do? Friday night, you're going to eat chametz. Shabbos morning, you got down, get up nice and early. There are many people that are going to have chametz Shabbos morning. They're going to have for their Suda Shabbos. They're going to wash and bread. Oh, very nice. Friday night, you have chametz for your Suda Shabbos. And Shabbos morning, you got get up nice and early, and you daven early, you come home from shul, and you sit down, you have a chametz to a meal. Very nice. So what did you do on Thursday? What did you do on Friday morning? Friday morning, you made a ceremony and you burned chametz to be mekayim tashbisu. This is a joke. That's tashbisu when you still have in your possession. You still have in your possession, and you plan to eat chametz for another day at night and by day, and you're going to possess chametz, more chametz. So your ceremony of burning chametz, this is not a tashbisu. What is this? This is a joke. So on one hand, you can answer, that's right. It is a joke. This is just a ceremony. Why? As we started, for no other reason, go through the motions. For no other reason than don't lose the momentum. Shloi tishtakach, toiras, bir chametz miYisrael. If this year you're going to quit, you're not going to do it, you're going to sit it out, next year, who says you'll do it? Who says you'll have the same enthusiasm, the same drive, passion to do it the way it's supposed to be done? The real way to be mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu is to search for your chametz at night, find that chametz,
yes,
and then destroy it the very last moment of Erev Pesach, and through destroying that chametz, you no longer possess. What's going on over here, Mary? And through destroying the chametz. I'm sorry, Mordechai. It wasn't you. Okay.
I'm sorry.
No. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm getting confused. Yeah, I said. So this is. The real way to do the Mekayim Mitzvah of Tashbisu is to search for the chametz, to find the very last chametz that you possess, have nothing else in your possession, and then burn it the very last moment of the day. And through burning it, you no longer have any chametz left in your possession. That's called Tashbisu in its purest form. If you're going
when
to...
When does the Mechirat Chametz hal?
Okay,
if
excellent.
I eat the goy's chametz.
So the mechiras chametz is chal. The rabbi puts in the shtar the moment before sunset. We'll get to that later on. No, not on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make a mechira on Shabbos. Shabbos.
Okay, so
you're right. I thought this year, right? This year, the whole thing doesn't really apply. This year, that's what you're discussing.
Rabbi Levine. Yeah. 20 years ago, my rabbi Zichron Leroch had a stroke right before Pesach. About five days before Pesach. So he made me the shliach to go with Rabbi Shua Zalzangazon to sell the chametz. And we went in this month, we went between 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock. We went to sell the chametz.
You do it the same way, right? But
when the same way, it was on Friday.
You do it the same way, but in the shtar itself, you do it the same exact way. But being
it's
that people are
but you say it's
effective the moment before Shabbos begins, they have to write in the shtar that it's the tzchal. There's a whole that I want to talk about it as well, how
yeah,
the mechira is done. Yeah, but I wonder for the moment now when it comes to the mechira, I just want to bring out this point about the shreifas chametz. The shreifas chametz this year is a very bizarre form of shreifas chametz. It's purely ceremonial. Because the real way to do a Sreifas Chametz is where you burn the very last Chametz that you possess. The very last Chametz that you possess is what you burn. The very last Chametz that you possess is the proper way to do the Sreifas Chametz. This year that is impossible. Now go back to what we mentioned before from the Ramah. The Ramah discusses in a regular year. In a regular year, when a person knows he's going to be very busy Erev Pesach, and he's not going to be able to burn the chametz. So the Ramah says that that's the case. Anyway, you're not going to be able to burn the chametz the very last moment. And when you burn the chametz the very last moment to be in the midst of Tashbisu in its full glory, this is the last chametz in the world that I possess. And now I'm going to destroy it at the last moment of the day, and I have nothing left. I can't do that. And there are more discussing a person in a regular year who's very busy. I have to go travel tomorrow. I got to be on a plane tomorrow. I got to be busy tomorrow. I'm going to be eating chametz tomorrow. So I cannot do the ceremony of Tashbisu in its full glory. So the Rama says, if that's the case, you don't have to bother to wait until the morning. If you're going to be busy tomorrow, you might as well burn the chametz now. You might as well burn the chametz at night. You do the bedikah, asher kedushan b'mitzvot sivanu al bir chametz, search for the chametz, and right after you find the chametz, right here and now, burn the chametz. Burn what you find. Is it going to be for you the full, glorious fulfillment of Tashbisu? No, it's not. But if you're not going to do it the way it's meant to be done, no harm done in doing it at night. So the truth is, the same way the Rama discussed that situation for a person who's not going to be able to burn the chametz because he's traveling, he's busy, he's on the road, Erev Pesach, and the Rama says, so you might as well just burn it at night. In other words, what's the advantage of burning it at night? At least you're not mafsik between the baracha and the biur. In a regular year, it's not a perfect solution. You make the baracha, you do the searching, and now you take a break. You go to sleep. You wake up the next morning. You go daven. You go to a siyum. You have a nice breakfast. You come home. You look around the house and you say to your wife, wow, you did all this. You slept the whole night last night. I got a good night's sleep. And look what you did the whole night. You worked the whole night. And you walk around and then you twiddle your thumbs. Oh, now it's time to go burn the chametz. And you go burn the chametz. Oh, what a very nice hefsik there is between the bracha of bir chametz and the actual burning of the chametz. It's not an ideal situation. Well, guess what? This world is not a perfect world. You can't have it all. You can't have, even though ideally there should not be hefsik between the bracha of bir chametz and the burning of the chametz, but it's a no-win situation. The bir has to be made at the beginning of the process of the bedika, and the burning takes place a long time later. So no, it's a yoyma arichta. It's an extended bracha. The bracha is extended. But the Rama says, in a situation where you're not going to be able to burn the chametz anyway tomorrow because you're busy, so you know what? You might as well burn it at night. And by burning it at night, you're having the advantage. There's no hefsek. You made the bracha, you did the bedikah, and you burned the chametz. Wonderful. Is it tashbisu? So it is tashbisu. It's not the perfect tashbisu. The person destroys chametz, l'shem, for the sake of destroying chametz. Even though you still have in your possession other chametz that you can eat for breakfast, it's obviously not the ideal way to be mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. It would be ideal that it should be your last chametz. But listen, it's also good. You're also in the kind of the mitzvah. We're not so machmir on these things.
What about the
Rabbi Levine, excuse me. If somebody has no intention and he has no chametz in his possession in a regular year,
yeah.
So why should he be able to be mitzvah of the bedikah with the beer at night?
Why can't he make a bracha? What are you saying?
In a regular year,
yeah.
He has no more chametz. Nobody in his house is going to eat any chametz. There is no chametz. This is his last chametz. He did 10 pieces, whatever. And
That's tashbisu. It's exactly what the mitzvah is. This is your last chametz.
Burn it. So what's stopping him from burning it at night? That's what I'm saying, in a regular time.
Because I guess the answer is, since theoretically you are allowed to have chametz tomorrow morning, even though your intent is not, even though you don't know what's going to be tomorrow, maybe tomorrow someone will invite you to a bris, chametz to a bris, you don't know what. Technically, you're permitted to eat chametz all the way until the very last minute. The ideal thing to do is to keep that chametz you have in your possession until the very last minute and then destroy it. When you come to the fifth hour, you're allowed to possess, but you're not allowed to eat. So now is the ideal time to mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu, because when you're going to destroy this chametz, it's over. There's nothing more coming into your account. That you have a mitzvah to destroy chametz. The ideal way to do it is to take the very last chametz that you possess and destroy it. If you're going to destroy it at night, you don't know what's going to be tomorrow. Tomorrow you may discover more chametz. You may purchase chametz. Someone may give you chametz and you'll eat it. So then it turns out that retroactively the chametz that you destroyed at night is not tashbisu in its fullest sense of the word, because there's more chametz to come. The ideal way to mekayim tashbisu is to destroy the very last chametz in your possession, and this is going to be the gemar.
so that's the end. That would be a better answer, that he may find chametz again.
Or you may change your mind. It doesn't matter. You're permitted. Technically, you are permitted to purchase and to make chametz and to eat chametz. So you can really trust yourself. You may find chametz. You may purchase chametz. You may eat chametz. You don't know what's going to be tomorrow. It's a long time until Pesach begins. The Zman Isser begins. The Zman Isser is chatzos. It's 12 noon. You don't know what's going to be until then. So the ideal thing is to hold on to that chametz until the very last minute and then destroy it. That is the full glory of Tashbisu. But if you're not going to be able to do it, so the Rama says, so you know what? So you might as well burn it right now. Burn it at night. If tomorrow you're going to be so busy, so burn it right away. Don't give it to someone. Don't rely upon someone else. Burn it right away at night. So the question is, everyone this year is in the situation of the Ramah. Because on Shabbos, you can't burn the chametz. On Shabbos, you can't burn the chametz on Shabbos. On Shabbos, in fact, you're going to be eating chametz. Many people will be eating chametz. Some eat egmats, some eat chametz. Many people will be eating chametz all the way until the last minute. So what do you... So there's no... Burning the chametz a Friday afternoon is not a tashbisu. So you might as well burn the chametz at night. Why don't we say that? So the answer is, you're right. You're really you're 100% right. Our sreifas chametz on Erev Pesach, bizman, in the same time that we ordinarily burn the chametz, is nothing more. It's not a halachic. There's no, in the world of halacha, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't hold up to any standard whatsoever. And the only reason we're doing it is to preserve the minhag, to maintain the momentum for next year. Once you're going to play around with the formula, who knows what's going to be next year?
The problem with making the declaration when we burn the chametz Friday morning.
You're saying very good. That's halacha. Very, very important halacha. You do not recite the Kol Chamira when you burn the chametz Friday morning. This year, when you burn the chametz Friday morning in the regular time, in the fifth hour, you do not recite the Kol Chamira, because you're planning to eat chametz or possessing chametz until the next day, until Shabbos morning.
You can actually burn it anytime. You don't have to burn it at a fifth hour.
So you technically, you're right. Technically, you can burn it the entire day. But the minhag Yisrael is to burn it in the regular time, even though it doesn't make any sense. I think there's some confusion here. In a regular year.
It makes a lot of sense. The whole Indian of Pesach is to teach the children.
Teach yourself. Everyone's a child at heart.
You shouldn't admit it.
This year, almost everything that we are doing does not stand up to the world of halacha. Let's review the principle. In a regular year, why is it we burn the chametz in the fifth hour? The answer is, we want to be mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of tashbisu. Tashbisu means to destroy. The Torah says, Tashbisu se'or mibotechem. Rid yourselves of leaven, of yeast, from your home. Now that mitzvah can be fulfilled many ways, many forms, but the ideal way to fulfill this mitzvah in its full glory is, number one, to do a violent form of destruction. The most violent form of destruction is fire. That's the most violent way to destroy the chametz. That's the ideal. Number two, the ideal way to do this is to take the very last chametz that you possess in this world, the very last crumbs of chametz you possess, and destroy it. And by you destroying it, I have nothing left. Yeah.
Pizza store, a bagel store, allowed to be open a whole day Friday also?
Technically, yes. The minhag Yisrael is no. Technically, yes. Yes, the answer is yes. They can be open the whole day until the very last moment. Yes. Yes, they can be open the whole day.
And
absolutely.
When we make the declaration of Kol Chamira?
Kol Chamira is said on Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
Shabbos. Kol Chamira is not said on Friday this year. This year it's not said on Friday. So if this is the way we do, Tashbisu in a regular year, to fulfill in its full glory, to burn chametz, the very last crumbs that you own in this world. When? At the last moment of the day. There are three things coming together. Three elements coming together. The way to fulfill the mitzvah in its full glory. Destroy. Don't just get rid of it with a vacuum cleaner. Don't just get rid of it by flushing it down the toilet. Number one, get rid of it like in Hollywood. The way they get rid of it in Hollywood. Explosives. Get rid of it in a violent way by burning it. Number two, when you get rid of it, it should be gotten rid of you. There should be nothing else that you possess. This should be the end. This should be your last morsel of chametz in this world. So when you get rid of it, I have nothing else in my possession. Number three, the time when you get rid of it is a time where it's impossible for you to reacquire it at the very last moment of the day. So that is why in a regular year, we burn it, the 10 pieces of chametz, our very last possession, in the very last moment of the day. This year, we can't do that. Because to burn it will be chilul Shabbos. So we can't do that, to go burn it. And we can't do it in the regular way we do it. So what are we doing then? What's the purpose then of burning it on Friday morning at 10 o'clock? What are you accomplishing? You're accomplishing absolutely nothing. And in fact, the Ramah discusses a situation similar to this, where you have a person who's going to be very busy. He's going to be very busy Erev Pesach in a regular year, and he's not going to be able to burn the chametz. So the Ramah says, so do the bedikah and burn the chametz at night. Since anyway you can't burn the chametz in the regular zman, you can't fulfill the minhag with its full glory of burning your last morsel of chametz in the last moment of time. With it, so you know what? So do it at night already. If you can't do it the regular way, so do it right away. Good enough. Good enough. You destroyed chametz for the purpose of tashbis. So you have more chametz. You still yotzei tashbis. So it's okay. It's not the way you would like. But so do it right. So every single person in Klal Yisrael finds himself in that situation this year. So why bother burning chametz Friday morning at 10 o'clock when you're permitted to eat chametz the entire day and you plan on eating chametz for the Suda at night and you plan on chametz for the Suda Shabbos morning? And anyway, you're not going to say kol chamir, or you're not going to be mevatel the chametz that you may have in your possession unbeknown to you. You know why? For one reason only. One reason only. To preserve the minhag, to preserve the momentum for next year.
And when would you say Kol Chamir or Chamiyah?
You say this year Kol Chamir Shabbos morning in the fifth hour. This after year Kol Chamir is said after you eat your Su'uda in the fifth hour, in between the fifth and sixth hour, between the fifth and the sixth hour, where approximately like 10:30, something like that. That's when you say kol chamira.
The fourth and fifth hour.
That's when you burn the chametz. And that's the fourth and the fifth is when the fourth and the fifth.
Until the fourth, you can burn till the end of the fifth.
Okay, I'm sorry. I mean between the fourth and the fifth hour. I'm sorry, between the fourth and the fifth hour. We do it this year, nothing more than not to lose the momentum. Now let's discuss another halacha, the chiras chametz. Ordinarily, now this today has changed quite a bit. There's a lot of lumnas in mechiras chametz, and for some reason, rabbanim today, I don't know why, they don't do it the way they used to do it. Traditionally, mechiras chametz, my father always did it during the fifth hour. Traditionally, the mechira was done Erev Pesach. They sat down with the guy, the non-Jew, at the same time when you're supposed to burn the chametz, the very last hour of the day. Between the fourth and the fifth hour, the mechira takes about 20 minutes, a half an hour at most. They sit down with the non-Jew, and they begin the process of selling the chametz to the non-Jew between the fourth and the fifth hour. And in a regular year, the sale is effective immediately. Immediately. They do with the non-Jew multiple kinyanim. They do about 6 or 7 kinyanim. Just in case one of the transactions, for whatever reason, did not work, you do it again. We know that in Jewish law, there are many ways to do business. Jews are very good at that, right? There are many ways to rip off someone. There are many ways to do business. You can do kinyan meshicha, kinyan agav, kinyan simtusa, kinyan, what else there? I don't know all the kinyan. There are multiple ways to do transactions. Kinyan sudar, that's also what Kinyan Sudar, Kinyan Agav, there's Kesef, Shtar, Meshicha. It's not really Shach to Meshicha when it comes to Chametz. Okay, there are many different ways. And the Rabbanim, they do every single technique. They tell the non-Jew, we want to sell you the Chametz, and we want to make sure that the sale is valid. So we're gonna have redundancy. We're gonna do different techniques just in case, for whatever reason, one of the techniques it's discovered was invalid because of a technicality. So we have a backup. So we've done the transaction in another method. We're gonna sell it to you with a document. We write on the document, these are the terms and the conditions. And we're going to sign the document, and you're going to sign the document. Done. Now, just in case that transaction didn't work, for whatever reason, God forbid, let's do another transaction. Pick up the handkerchief. Here, pick up the handkerchief. By you picking up the handkerchief in the presence of these two witnesses, you hereby acquire all of the chametz. The witnesses are watching. The non-Jew says what he's about to do. He picks up the handkerchief. Oh, Kinyan Sudar. Oh, let's now do Kinyan Agav. What's Kinyan Agav? We're going to sell you a piece of land. We're designating a small little piece of land, someone's backyard or someone's garage. We're selling it to you. And by selling you the garage, with the garage comes all of the chametz, the metaltalin. That's called Kinyan Agav. Good. Another transaction. Let's have a l'chaim, simtusa, a minak soichrim, like mazel bracha when you sell diamonds, mazel bracha. Let's have a l'chaim. You'll take a drink, I'll take a drink, and we'll say that the purpose of taking a l'chaim, taking this drink, is for the purpose of the joy of the transaction to be effective. You now possess all of the chametz. Take a drink, excellent. Let's shake hands. They shake hands. They go through about 6-7 kinyanim. And then Rav Moshe Feinstein did this. My father saw this by Rav Nissen Alpert. After everything is said and done, they do the 6-7 transactions. They are dayanim. There are three talmidei chacham who have smicha, and they're watching all the whole proceeding. And then they send the guy out and they say, okay, we've gone through all the different techniques, but who knows? Maybe we did something wrong. Maybe we made a mistake. Something was not correct. So you know what? We are a Beis Din. We're a Beis Din with three people. We have smicha. So you know what we're going to do now? We're going to use our power as a Beis Din to declare that just in case the 6-7 transactions that we got involved in didn't work, we're going to be mafkir all of the chametz of these people. Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. We hereby, as a Beis Din, declare everyone's chametz that we are responsible for shall be deemed ownerless. And the people that we represent should not be responsible for possessing in their possession chametz. We have a Beis Din, have that power to declare the chametz of our constituents, hefker. Okay, we go to extreme measures. It's really fascinating to watch a real mechira. My father, Zichrono Livracha, in the early years when he was a Rav, he went to the MTJ on the Lower East Side. At that time, Rav Moshe already was not doing it. Rav Nissen Alpert, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he gave it over to his Talmud, Rav Nissen Alpert, to do the mechira. I don't remember if Rav Moshe was even there, was even watching. And Rav Nissen Alpert did the Mechira, and just about every single Rav in the whole New York City came to Rav Nissen Alpert, and put on the table their shtaros in a mound all the way to the sky of all of the shtaros of the entire New York City. And Rav Nissen Alpert went through all of these techniques with the non-Jew, and then he dismissed the non-Jew, and they had Rabbanim, they declared Hefker Bezen Hefker. My father watches for a couple of years, and then Rav Nissen Alpert, he was Nifter, very young, and then my father started doing it himself. And he wrote his own shtar, and he got really involved, and he got really into this, and he spoke to lawyers, how it should be valid, even according to New York City, New York State, because the shtaros that most Rabbanim use, it's not necessarily legally binding in court. It doesn't matter. You don't need that it should be valid in court. It's in halach, it's good enough. It's good enough in halach. It's more than enough. But there are all these different hidurim today already. There are sfarim on this. It's a big topic. Now, the point of one thing we want to discuss, that is, when was this done? Traditionally, it's done Erev Pesach, in the last moment. Why the last moment? Because, number one, people are using chametz until the very last moment. You don't know who you're representing. People want to use it. It shouldn't be a joke. You're selling the chametz to a guy, and people are still eating from the chametz. They're still using the chametz. You do it the very last moment, so it shouldn't be a kuchu tulula, which means a joke. And number two, it's also part of tashbisu. By selling the chametz to a non-Jew, this is an extension of ridding yourself of chametz. And to fulfill tashbisu in the proper time is when you do it at the very end, the very last moment. Now this year, people will be eating chametz until the very last moment. And this year, Mechiras Chametz is very challenging. One of the biggest changes and complications that we have this year, you don't see this. This is under the hood. This is for the Rabbanim to deal with, is Mechiras Chametz. Why? Because it is forbidden on Shabbos to engage in mekach u'memkar, and it's also forbidden to set up a transaction on Friday that should go into effect on Shabbos. So you cannot write in the shtar on Friday, okay, we're making a transaction and we're going to go through all of the techniques, but it should not go into effect until tomorrow, Friday morning, Shabbos morning at 10 o'clock. Because people want to eat chametz and they want to use their non-kosher kalim and this and that Friday night and Shabbos morning. And then 10:30, they close the dining room and they go into the bunker. They go into their Pesach bunker, into their Pesach kitchen, and they close up what's upstairs. You cannot go and make a transaction Friday in halacha that should go into effect on Shabbos. That's a disgrace for Shabbos. Shabbos is off limits. So what would you want to do? Okay, so we'll make the transaction right here and now, 10:30 Friday morning. That's also not a good idea, because since it's not yet Pesach, and people are busy eating chametz the whole day, and dealing with chametz the whole day, you should give them more time. So indeed, the minog is, this year, Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos, the actual Mechira should be done in the regular time, between the fourth and the fifth hour, like it is every single year, which is just to preserve tradition and to maintain the momentum. But in the document and in the conditions that are specified to the non-Jew, it should be clear that the transaction does not go into effect until a few moments before sunset. That's unique to this year. It's practical. We make a change out of practicality, but the minhag is to preserve tradition, to do it at the correct time. Now, the problem with a lot of this is very interesting, is that today, the whole nature, in the 21st century, the whole nature of Mechiras Chametz has become very weak. I don't know why. First of all, there are a lot of people that don't sell chametz altogether anymore for some reason. They don't sell chametz. They think they have no chametz. They clean out their whole kitchen. They don't have no schnapps, no liquor. They don't have. Now you may have stocks. You don't know if you have a person has a fund, has a retirement fund. You don't know where your manager, people who have funds. You don't know where they have invested your hard-earned money. Most people don't manage these things. They have professionals that manage it for them. And they sometimes invest in General Mills. They invest in major corporations that own hundreds of these conglomerations. They own all these different companies it's part of these companies. You would never even believe that this company that makes rockets for NASA, they also own chametz. They also own a company that makes candy bars. Who would have ever imagined? Who would ever imagine that a company that makes rockets to go to Mars also is the owner of a company that makes chocolate bars? Who would imagine such a thing? You never know. And then you'll say, so what? Just because you own stock, that doesn't mean you own chametz. Owning stock is called owning chametz. All right, so you can follow people back and forth. There are many different opinions on this matter. There are different opinions. Obviously, you can be very lenient. Someone wants to be machmir, has plenty of room to be machmir. So it's always a good idea to sell chametz because you never know. You really never know. You never, never know what's going on in this world. And but for some reason, people don't sell chametz. A lot of people today, B'nai Torah, they don't even bother selling chametz. And another thing that I've noticed is a lot of rabbanim don't sell chametz in the right time anymore. They've deviated from the tradition of selling chametz between the fourth and the fifth hour, and they sell it when it's convenient for them. They sell the night before, they sell the day before, 2 days before. For some reason, they're going away also for Pesach, the hotel, so they can't be busy with this Erev Pesach, so they sell it when it's convenient for them. It's interesting because that's definitely not tradition. Tradition is to sell the Maisa Mechir is done. The Maisa Mechir should be done Erev Pesach in the fourth and fifth hour. I don't know. None of my business. Then you get involved in the issue. Part of the reason probably why they aren't very lenient is because time zones. It's not like it used to be years ago where everyone lives in your little shtetl. Today, people in Flatbush, someone, a rabbi in Flatbush, when he's selling chametz, what is he writing down on a shtar? Many people have apartments in Eretz Yisrael and are going to be there for Pesach. Well, I don't know this year, but they have property, they have chametz. So if you're going to sell the chametz 10:30 Erev Pesach, it's too little too late. In Eretz Yisrael, it's 7 hours ahead. You really have done a disservice for your balabas who wrote down his chametz on your shtar, and you delayed selling chametz for him when it's already too late for him. It's already Pesach for him, and you didn't yet sell his chametz because you're in America and you're 7 hours earlier. That's a real problem. So therefore, many rabbanim have no choice but to do the mechira the night before for the people that live in a different time zone. But that's a break from tradition. So my father, he was very sensitive to this, so he did it twice. He had two transactions. He had a transaction at night. Every person who came to sell chametz, he would ask them anything in Eretz Yisrael, write on this shtar, and anything in America, on this continent, you write on this shtar. And he did a mechir at night, and he did a mechir by day, because he was very scared to do what other rabbanim did, and they just sold it the day before. They sold in case they sell the chametz a day before. In the afternoon, so no matter what, everyone is covered. You're always going to have a guy, by the way, always, that's going to walk into your house 5 minutes before you sell the chametz and say, "Can I still sell my chametz?" You'll always have that guy that will come in. So what are you going to tell him? "Sorry, too late. I did it already yesterday." And also, the night before Pesach, by the way, that's the big time. The night before Pesach, when the people come from Meir, B'dikas chametz, when they do B'dikas chametz, there's an avalanche of people who want to chaperayin. They wait until the last minute. and the people who come mamish, they come after people who walk into your house after you come back from mechira. Can I still sell the chametz? Sorry, this is really too late. So whatever it is, it's not always practical even to do the day before. But this year, technically speaking, you can sell the chametz all the way until the last moment before Erev Shabbos. And in fact, this year, when you sell the chametz this year, in the document, it's specified that the chametz is first going to be sold the last moment. Now, here is what is very interesting about this year. What's interesting about this year is like this. This is a very unique chiddush. People in a different time zone. Ordinarily, in a regular year, Rabbanim who are selling chametz to people who are in Eretz Yisrael have no choice but to sell the chametz to the guy the night before. If someone in America, a rabbi in America selling chametz for one of his members who has chametz in Eretz Yisrael, has no choice but to sell the chametz the night before because of the time zone. But guess what? This year, is it really necessary? Because this year, if the rabbi does one mechira, anytime Friday, even Friday right before Shabbos, the people living in Eretz Yisrael, it's not yet Pesach. It's not yet the Zman. So what are you going to say? You're going to say, well, wait a minute. You're not allowed to make a transaction that should first go into effect on Shabbos. Like we mentioned before, the Rabbanim, they said that the transaction should go into effect the moment before Shabbos begins. Why don't they write in the Shtar the transaction will go into effect on Shabbos itself? That's a zilzul in Shabbos. That's a disgrace to Shabbos. You don't conduct business on Shabbos. You don't make arrangements Erev Shabbos that the transaction shall go into effect on Shabbos. So here's the question. If you have a member of your kehila who lives in Eretz Yisrael and you want to sell his chametz on Friday, are you allowed to do so knowing that now when I'm selling the chametz here in America, it's Shabbos for my member in Eretz Yisrael, and there's no issue of Bal Yeroheh Bal Yemotzeh, because the Zman of Isser chametz did not yet begin, but it's still Shabbos for him. So just like you yourself wouldn't dare sell your own chametz today, on Friday, telling the non-Jew that it should go into effect on Shabbos, because that's a disgrace for your Shabbos, is it also a disgrace for me on Friday to sell my chametz right, to sell your chametz right now, knowing that right now for you, it's Shabbos? Are these two things equivalent? So here in the Nitei Gavriel, he writes a very beautiful arichas on this topic, and he concludes that it's permitted. He says there's a difference between you, yourself, and a representative of you. In other words, let's review the principle. For me right now on Friday, to tell a non-Jew, I'm selling you something, and I want the transaction to go into effect tomorrow when it's Shabbos, it's mine, my property will go be transferred to you on the Shabbos. That's forbidden because it's me. It's my Shabbos. I'm telling a guy when it's Shabbos for me, that's when I want the transaction to go into effect. But if I do it for someone else, I represent so-and-so. I represent Reuven. Here I am. I'm his lawyer. I'm his representative. I'm the apotropis. and I want to sell you the non-Jew chametz today, right now, at this moment. I represent him. Right now it's not Shabbos. Right now it's not Shabbos. It's Friday. I represent my client. You're a non-Jew. I want to make a transaction. I want to sell you his chametz right now. It just so happens to be that my client is living in Eretz Yisrael, and right now, for him, it's Shabbos. So the Nitig Gavriel paskins, that's permitted. That is permitted. It's not the same. Because right now, for me, it's not Shabbos. For the non-Jew, it's not a day of Shabbos. I'm doing the transaction with the non-Jew right now, right here, and there's no Zilzul Shabbos from my perspective. I'm representing a client who, in his time zone, it happens to be Shabbos. It's okay. That is not called a Zilzul Shabbos. That's not a Zilzul Shabbos because we're too far removed. If it was me, I'm the speaker, and I'm telling the non-Jew, the sale will take place when it will be Shabbos for me. That's a Zilzul and Shabbos. But if the sale is taking place, I am the authorized representative of the chametz, and the sale is taking place right here now, and it's not Shabbos for me. Right now, I'm perfectly legal. And it just so happens to be that who I represent, it's Shabbos for him at this moment in time. He's not making the transaction. He's not involved. He's removed from this whole process. It's just being released from his possession, but he's not active. This is a chiddush. This is not saying there's not a chiddush, but that is permitted. It's a very fine difference. It's a lumdish difference to mechalek between when you're doing it for yourself, when you're the one who is effecting the transaction, and we don't take note of the fact that the person I'm representing for him, he's in a different time zone than the Shabbos. That's okay. Ordinarily, in a regular year, you can't do this. Because ordinarily, in a regular year, you have a problem that at this moment in time, Pesach for him has already begun. And he now is in violation of owning chametz that he's not allowed to have. So you don't have a choice in a regular year but to push up the transaction to the day before. But this year, you don't have that problem. Because this year you're doing the transaction on Friday, and on Shabbos you're allowed to have chametz. The prohibition first kicks in Friday morning. So right now it's not Pesach for me, it's not Pesach for him. Problem is, it's Shabbos. There's a zilzul in kinyonim on Shabbos. That, we have a chiddush, that's okay, that is not considered to be a violation. So you notice over here we have a lot of very challenging situations here when it comes to Erev Shchalias v'Shabbos. And a lot of the things that we ordinarily do, we are very detailed, intricate laws in order to optimize the halacha, that it should be perfect. And when you come to a year like this, everything is blown out of the water. Everything is totally, totally ruined. And yet, stay the course. Continue doing what you did last year. We make minor changes. Don't say kol chamir v'chamir when you burn the chametz. The zman of the mechira takes effect the very last moment. You can make even one mechira. You don't have to make two mechiras, so it's not Shabbos for them. But generally, stay the course. Do what you did last year. Continue the momentum. And to conclude, there are many more applications of this, but there's a very powerful Musar Haskel. What makes this year very special? When you're doing things this year just to maintain the momentum, you know what that means? You have faith. There will be a next year. You have faith in the future. In a regular year, when you come to Bidikas Chametz, someone says to you, next year, let me get through the day. You're telling me what's going to be next year. I got a lot on my plate. It's hard enough for me to get through the day. Now get through the week, the month. You're worried about next year? Have a nice day. You must be living in a different world of reality. If you have such yishuv hadas to start planning your perfect life, what's going to be next year? That's the way we live, right? I mean, people have a lot of daigas. People have to focus, keep your eye on the ball. But this year, This year, Chazal are telling us, come out of your box. Don't focus on the moment. Open up your eyes. Look at the big picture. Have faith. There will be a future. There are good things ahead of you. Look at the big picture. That is what makes this year very special. We're doing so many things this year, Erev Pesach, which according to Halacha, do not hold up at all. Not even in the slightest. But we're still doing it the way we always did it. Why? Maintain the momentum for next year. There will be a next year. And next year will be even better. Will be more glorious. Will be more simcha. More success. And that's a very different attitude than we're accustomed to. And that's part of the bracha Hashem is giving us this year, to put aside all of the restrictions, constraints, difficulties. Look forward ahead for good days yet to come. All right, Rabbi Yisrael, thank you for coming and listening. Have a wonderful day. We have to share and see you all tomorrow. Later. Thank you.